Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And we have today with us one of those beloved community members, Betsy Carlson, Citizen Science Coordinator. Betsy coordinates the Citizen Science Projects, educational programs, volunteers, the Discover Lab, and also the Port Townsend Marine Science Center Data Management System. It's a mouthful. With a Bachelor's of Science degree in Plant Science and Master's of Environmental Studies, Betsy has worked on a diverse array of projects with Washington State University, Olympic Park Institute, and the Peace Corps. Yes, Madagascar. She spent 6 years in Madagascar on a remote island studying forest habitat of an endangered primate. Welcome, Betsy. We are so fortunate to have that wealth of knowledge and skills working at the Port Townsend Marine Science Center. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Missy.
I know you wear a lot of hats. However, today I want to really target that citizen science component. Now, I understand loosely that citizen science was established as kind of a crowdsourcing, if you will, to engage and inform and connect folks with science projects. You know, their website tells us they provide a catalog for federally supported projects. There's a toolkit. And primarily, what we're going to talk about today is the gateway to community engagement for citizen scientists. What I read, though, what I thought was really interesting is this was established through legislative action in 2016. And I'm hoping you can kind of fill us in a little bit on the larger, broader understanding of how citizen science came to be and help correct some things if I got that incorrect.
Oh, Missy. citizens.
Where do I start?
No, it's great to do this. The technology that we are using right now to make this call interview is through our cell phones, or at least my cell phone. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you're using. But that technology has just made citizen science become like a superpower. It allows individuals to be out in the field collecting information, data through photos or uploading information. And they've been able to spread that throughout the world, and it's just incredibly robust, and it allows people to participate in many, many different ways without having to go into a lab and put on a lab coat and do that. I mean, that's another kind of science. There are many kinds of science. So citizen science has been around for a very long time. If you think about it, some of the earliest sort of oceanography information was collected by sailors sailing around, and they came back and reported out their information to people who were interested, and that information got shared in chat maps and charts and currents and weather patterns and that sort of thing. With some of the earlier citizen, you could say it's citizen science that's been going on. So citizen science has been around for a very long time because it kind of started before science was even invented.
Oh, interesting.
Well, if you think about it, science kind of came along and there became ologies and there became studies and specialties. But it was through people out in the world observing what was happening and keeping track of it and collecting information that created science as we know it today and a lot of our basic information. So calling it the citizen science element now is sort of this pendulum coming back in certain elements of science that allow us to collect this information.
I was on their website, and they had case study examples of citizen science in the range. I mean, we're focusing on marine science today, but I was stunned that there's like improving access to historical records. Volunteers can tag images so that people can do better research, or identifying what we typically think of as the nature notebook, you know, seasonal changes. And they had some really lovely descriptors as no training needed, as little as 10 minutes a few times a week. Broadband efficacy, you know, so the science science range has really gotten so large. And you pointing out that tool that we all have in our pocket, that phone, has really probably just exploded the citizen science capacity.
It has. And I think the website you're talking about is the citsci.gov website.
That's right, yeah.
There's a wide variety, there's a huge variety of citizen science information out there in a variety of different pathways. Cornell, the Christmas bird count, it is now coordinated, I believe, by Cornell University. That started 100 years ago, and then it finally got online, and people were able to edit their information and put it in there. And eBird and iNaturalist are all environmental organizations, environmental apps, basically, that you can record your information on. And then there's a variety of health-related projects that are out there, that, and history, as you mentioned. There's a lot, and you give a lot of people the a little bit of training and the opportunity to make a difference, and you can help and lead to things like a cure for Alzheimer's. I mean, it's incredible.
It is. And you, as one of the hats you wear, you coordinate the citizen science, but you also do a few other things for the organization. And we'll wind back to citizen science, but I don't want to forget to mention some of the other aspects of your work at the Port Townsend Marine Science Center.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you like oysters or clams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a shellfish eater?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know those shellfish are safe?
I don't. I leave that to the partner in my life. Well, there's something about it being opened or closed, correct?
Well, no. It's actually the fact that it makes it into a place where you can buy it, or you should be checking to make sure that you're not digging it up on a toxic beach. But there are places, one of the projects that we work on is called Sound Toxins, and we send volunteers out and they collect water samples and they look for some harmful algae. So they look for a kind of plankton floating around in the water, specific kinds that can be indicators of diseases like paralytic shellfish poisoning and diuretic shellfish poisoning. And these are things you don't want to eat, and the shellfish are filter feeders, so get a collection of these bad guys in them and you eat it, you can get very, very sick. So one of the projects that we work on actually looks at whether these phytoplankton are in the water, and if they are, then we report it to the Department of Health through a project that we work on with Sea Grant and NOAA.
And so that's an example of the partnership. Is that also under the umbrella of a citizen science program?
It absolutely is. Yeah. We've got we send out our volunteer citizens. They're collecting data. The data is uploaded, and there you go.
Well, I noticed you also had partnerships with the Marine Mammal Stranding Network and the Hydrophone Network. I don't know that the Hydrophone has volunteer participation or citizen science participation, but there's a wide range of partnerships that you have on your website currently.
Yeah. The Marine Mammal Stranding Network is a really big one. That somebody finds a stranded marine mammal, seals, sea lions, whales, dolphins, porpoises, that kind of thing. If you find those on the beach, you call the NOAA hotline or you call the Marine Science Center, and we will send out a volunteer to go either, if it's a live animal, sit with the animal and kind of keep an eye on it and keep people away from it, because that's the best thing to do for the animal. Or if it's a dead animal, then we will collect some basic information, and sometimes we will do a necropsy, and that's done mostly with volunteers. And that is also part of our adding data and information to NOAA's national database on marine mammals.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Everybody Can at KPDZ 91.9. And today we have Betsy Carlson from the Port Townsend Marine Science Center helping us understand a little more fully what citizen science means and how we might integrate into that opportunity. Betsy, you were talking about the larger scope of citizen science and the institutional. Currently, I'd like to talk a little bit more about how you're doing in terms of your volunteer organization in the Marine Science Center. You currently aren't taking on new volunteers. Is that correct?
Sadly, that is correct. Sadly, we are not seeing our volunteers who just are the lifeblood of the Marine Science Center. We have some wonderful AmeriCorps. We have an intern who are working with us, helping to keep our education programs and other information alive online, working in the aquarium with some of the animals. But at this point, we're not bringing on new volunteers, but we really, really hope that our current volunteers and other marine science interested people are getting out there and paying attention to, you know, what's going on out in the wild.
I did not realize that you have none of your volunteers on the property. In my mind's eye, and I don't know fully what the opportunities are, I'm imagining a solitary volunteer cleaning a tank, and that would be in no way a challenge. But you, as an organization, had determined to not have volunteers on the property at all. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wow.
We were doing some projects for a little while, but the sort of the governor's mandate or recommendations came down right before the holidays, we just decided the best thing for our volunteers and for our staff was to just slow down. Mm-hmm. Normally in the wintertime, we're pretty buttoned up as already, just because it's too cold to be in the aquarium and we don't have a large visitation. So this is not extremely unusual for us to slow down at this time of year. Fingers crossed that we're going to be able to get things up and rolling soon, but it's going to be a little while.
Approximately how many volunteers do you have in your organization?
Well, our database lists almost 1,000 names in it, but our active it's really, I mean, there have been a lot of people involved with the organization for its 35 plus years of being in this community, but we have, I'd say, each year, I can give you our 2016 numbers. It was, let's see, hold on a second. Yeah, we had over 2019, we had over 10,394 volunteer hours recorded.
Wow.
By 405 individuals.
Okay. Well, I know that you've got a really great website, and there's ways to stay connected as a volunteer that you can keep them encouraged to come alongside when you're able to. And you might want to mention a couple of ways that one who's interested in the marine science category of volunteering, how they can continue to come alongside you guys while not being present. Some suggestions?
Well, there will be opportunities. We just did a cleanup through the Martin Luther King Day event. Mm-hmm. There will be another beach cleanup coming up in April. We are currently planning to do a BioBlitz, which is citizen science using an iNaturalist app, and we try to tally every single living organism in Fort Worden. We'll be doing that on May 1st. So that's an opportunity for people to get out there.
I was going to say, we might want to tell them how they can get a hold of you for that blitz, the best way for someone who's interested in doing something like that.
The best thing to do would be to keep an eye on our website at ptmsc.org. They're also welcome to send an email to me at bcarlson@ptmsc.org. That's B as in Betsy, Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N. At ptmsc.org, and I'd be happy to help them find out more about it when in time comes along. And then keep an eye on our Facebook page, and we also are on Instagram, and we have a blog. But the website's a good place to start.
And if folks were interested in engaging with the citizen science, just to be clear, typically people go through a gateway organization, or could they go to that government website and find other opportunities that might allow them to be involved differently?
If you want to do some really fun things online, I would recommend going to an organization called Zooniverse. That's Zooniverse.org. I think that's how it is. And there's a multitude of online citizen science projects. That's for, you know, a cold, rainy winter day, sit inside and go to Africa and count animals kind of thing. And then there's also the SciStarter.org and there's CitizenScienceAssociation.org. So there's a number of different organizations out there involved with citizen science or community science.
That's a fantastic suggestion, Betsy. Well, I'm so glad you could join us today, and I look forward to when we hear a little bit more about the local volunteer opportunities that are opening up when our current and continuing pandemic challenges subside. I welcome you to come back. I'd like to hear more about that Blitz. Do let us know when that's coming up, and we can put a little shout out in advance besides your website.
Thank you much. Okay, we will.
So, Betsy, how can people become a little bit more comfortable with the concept or learn more about what an actual citizen scientist looks like?
Well, there's an opportunity to learn about one of our citizen science projects that we did locally with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. We were looking at clam shells and the effects of ocean acidification. So it's a long-term study, and we counted and weighed clam shells. And Doug Rogers, who is with Fish and Wildlife, will be speaking at our Future of Oceans lecture series on February 14th at 3 p.m. It's a Zoom program. It's free to whoever wants to attend, but you do need to register, and you can do that through our website at ptmsc.org. Doug is a biologist with Fish and Wildlife and goes out in the field and helps to do some of the he does the shellfish counts, and he's been collecting shellfish over the summers. And then we, in the past, unfortunately didn't get to do it this winter, but we measure and find out if there's a change in the weight of those shells over time, so we can see, because he's worried and there are signs that ocean acidification is affecting the clam shells.
Mm. Oh, that's a great example. A good way to get your toes wet, no pun intended. Thanks for joining us, Betsy.
Thanks, Missy.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kpdz.org. Now go out, get involved, and become a citizen scientist today.